The Illinois Democratic Party wades into the Unit 5 school board race to make a late push for pro-referendum candidates.
This isn't the sort of GOP of Ronald Reagan here, right? This is a sort of new paradigm of extreme right-wing thought.
That's coming up on WGLT's Sound Ideas. Good afternoon. I'm John Norton. Also on today's show, Bloomington police have ordered a tent encampment along Constitution Trail to move. It's near a homeless shelter that doesn't have room.
It's just been a huge disruptor for them.
And the residents don't know where they can go.
All we're trying to do is survive.
And holy moly, two high school students bring an Indian Festival of Colors to Bloomington.
It's been kind of a way to celebrate what's beyond the physical attributes and kind of what's within everyone.
Those stories follow a Bloomington Normal News update, which is next. This is WGLT's Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM and WGLT.org, part of the NPR network.
Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology. Hear My Story continues with local patient Ryan Fuller and his mother, Stephanie.
I believe it's made a big impact. I believe that if you have hearing loss, you should get it checked, you know? It's just been so helpful, and I don't know what I'd do without it.
Ryan and Stephanie's full story can be found at bnaudiology.com.
From the campus of Illinois State University in Normal, this is WGLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. Voters in Unit 5 got a new piece of campaign mail this week. It says, "Dangerous and radical candidates are trying to take over your local school board." It shows a photo of the January 6th insurrection and warns that, quote, extremists aren't stopping at the Capitol. The mailer comes from the Democratic Party of Illinois, an unprecedented move into what's ostensibly a nonpartisan election. As WGLT's Ryan Denham reports, the Democrats are turning up the volume on an already noisy campaign for the future of McLean County's largest school district.
The Democratic Party of Illinois says it's spending $300,000 to try and swing school board races in favor of 84 candidates statewide, including four running for the Unit 5 school board April 4th. They're playing political catch-up with conservative groups like the McLean County Republicans that have openly waded into school board races and public education in recent years.
Not something that we take enjoyment in doing. I wish this wasn't necessary to do.
That's Ben Hardin, executive director of the Democratic Party of Illinois, or DPI. Democrats say it's a reaction to extremist conservatives trying to sneak into power through low turnout, low information elections like the one happening April 4th. Hardin says they're targeting a base of Democratic voters with mailers and digital ads in Unit 5 and other districts statewide. They all point to a website called defendourschoolsillinois.com.
You know, this isn't the sort of GOP of Ronald Reagan here, right? This is a sort of new paradigm of extreme right-wing thought, one that is completely antithetical to our values, and one that we can't let go unchallenged.
In Unit 5, the Illinois Democrats support a group of union-backed pro-referendum school board candidates, including incumbents Amy Roser and Kelly Pyle, and newcomers Alex Williams and Mark Adams. Democrats oppose a Republican-aligned anti-referendum slate called Students First. That's Brad Wirth, Amy Jetta, Molly Emery, and Dennis Frank. The Students First candidates object to being characterized as extremists. They say they've been laser-focused on Unit 5's budget deficit and are disappointed at Democratic name-calling and personal attacks. When asked why the Democrats described the Students First slate as extremist, Hardin says it was partly because they were endorsed by a far-right organization called Angels for Freedom.
This organization has a very clearly established bent on this agenda that is, at the end of the day, completely antithetical to our values.
Angels for Freedom describes itself as a Bloomington Normal grassroots group of like-minded patriots that promotes active and informed involvement through constitutional literacy. That group opposes comprehensive sex education, things like electronic voting machines. Its website links to far-right groups like the Patriot Freedom Project that falsely portrays the January 6th defendants as unarmed civil rights protesters. It's unclear if Angels for Freedom actually endorsed the Students First slate, although the group's website certainly encourages people to vote for them. Angels is also opposed to the Unit 5 referendum and paid for an anti-referendum digital billboard on Veterans Parkway. On a list of voter resources on the McLean County Republican Party's website, Angels for Freedom appears first. Hardin also pointed out that Students First slate was endorsed by the McLean County Republican Party, which has contributed at least $1,500 to the slate. The GOP actively recruited school board candidates, including Worth, Jetta, and Frank. It opposes comprehensive sex education and calls diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts an evil influence on public schools. To make their decisions, Illinois Democrats say they analyzed over 500 districts, then chose to recommend 84 candidates and to oppose 74 in the April 4th election. Hardin says that process involved feedback from local stakeholders, like the McLean County Democrats. Local party chair Patrick Cortese calls DPI's new program unfortunately necessary.
Would I like to go back to a time when these elections were truly nonpartisan and if you were running for school board, you just needed a couple dozen yard signs and make sure your friends and family and neighbors went out and voted for you? Sure, I would love to do that. But we haven't had that kind of environment in a while, and I don't see any way of putting that genie back in the bottle.
After the three-way race for Bloomington mayor in 2021, Cortese says the local Democrats changed their bylaws to allow for endorsements and upfront support for candidates in nonpartisan races, albeit with a pretty high threshold. But this year, no school board candidates sought that endorsement. I'm Ryan Denham.
You can find all of our election stories and video interviews with the candidates at WGLT.org/election. Tomorrow on Sound Ideas, it's a data dive into the Unit 5 tax referendum to see how high its tax rate is and could be after April 4th compared to districts of similar size. Sound Ideas is WGLT's news magazine. I'm John Norton. Most people defined as homeless in Bloomington Normal stay in shelters or temporary emergency housing. You don't actually see much of them on the streets. Advocates for the unhoused say that masks the lack of affordable housing and resources for the housing insecure in the community. WGLT's Eric Stock reports a homeless encampment near a busy intersection for cars, walkers, and bikers has put the issue in plain sight.
Justin Larson says he's lived on and off the streets since he was 9 years old. That was 30 years ago. He's lived in nearly a dozen states as he's tried to get his life on track. Larson says he left Florida for Illinois because a friend told him he could get better medical treatment for back and spine ailments that have kept him from working. He says he could not afford health coverage for medical marijuana in Florida. In Illinois, recreational marijuana is legal. That kept him from getting into the Home Sweet Home shelter in Bloomington.
I was like, well, excuse me, ma'am. I came up here because medicinally, I can't get that down in Florida because I never could come up upon $400 to pay for a medical card.
Home Sweet Home does not allow marijuana because many residents are in addiction recovery. Larson has camped in a tent next to the shelter south of downtown Bloomington for the last few months. He may not be there much longer. On Monday, Bloomington police came to the encampment and told several people staying there they must leave. According to the shelter, police gave them 24 hours. They later changed it to 72 hours.
It's just been a huge disruptor for them.
That's Matt Burgess. He's the chief executive of the faith-based shelter Home Sweet Home Ministries. Burgess says police told them the tent dwellers are in a public right-of-way. The four tents sit in a row along Constitution Trail next to Oakland Avenue and Gridley Street. Six people sleep there. Burgess says police told them they've received complaints about the tents, but did not offer specifics. Burgess says the Home Sweet Home shelter and the Salvation Army shelter west of downtown don't have available beds, even for people who are living on the street.
Typically, people in that sort of circumstance would rank fairly high on our waiting list. And it's just a testament to how busy we are and how long that list is that they're having to wait weeks at this point in time to be able to come into the shelter.
Burgess says the ministry is exploring options for the residents. He says the shelter's rapid rehousing program can help get a roof over their heads, and the shelter may offer financial assistance, but he says that can't be done in 72 hours. This is not Bloomington's first homeless encampment. Tent dwellers quietly lived for years in wooded areas off West Market Street. Some had to leave when a Panda Express restaurant was built. Burgess says those homeless residents were generally left alone. He wonders why these residents near the shelter are a problem.
This is a very visible encampment. This is something that has obviously caught a lot of people's attention just because of how visible the tents are from the street. And I mean, I don't know what where they expect folks to go, quite frankly. There isn't an option.
Burgess says even if the shelter doesn't have beds available, it wants them close by because the ministry can feed them and offer services such as job placement. Charlie Fox says he got laid off from his job as a construction worker last winter. Now he says he can't work because he has to tend to his ailing wife. She's mostly confined to a wheelchair. Fox has been in and out of the homeless shelter so many times he can't get back in. They've been living in a tent for the last month. Matt Burgess with Home Sweet Home says the shelter tries to break the cycle of homelessness, helping its residents develop a sustainable plan for work and housing. After so many tries, they're cut off until they show progress in breaking that cycle. Charlie Fox says he's on good terms with the shelter. His beef is with the city of Bloomington for forcing them to leave.
Then I guess we're going to fight the city, you know. But I'm not going to be alone. I'm going to let everybody in my power know what people are doing. You don't treat another person like that because they look different.
Fox says he's trying to be a good neighbor, picking up trash and being respectful of others. Fox says he's 57. He says he's not sure where he'll be able to take his ailing wife if they have to leave. Disruptive behavior can also get you kicked out of a homeless shelter. Justin Larson says that's what happened to him once Home Sweet Home eventually let him in. He says he, quote, bumped heads with staff. He alluded to several confrontations with shelter employees. These are just a few examples of the complicated lives the homeless population lead. There are no simple solutions. There are other examples. Lydia Nelson has been unable to get into the Home Sweet Home shelter. She says she got kicked out of the Salvation Army Safe Harbor shelter. Nelson says she was bullied there. She says she suffers from anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder from an abusive childhood, and she's autistic. Those conditions can make it difficult for living in a group setting.
They don't understand me, and they rather bully me than understand me.
Nelson says she couldn't take it when police ordered them out of the tent.
I basically went into almost several induced seizures, and I couldn't cope. I still can't cope. I'm on the verge of running away and playing in the street because I can't take this anymore.
Nelson says she recently moved to Bloomington from Mississippi. She met a man online and they're now engaged. Nelson uses a wheelchair and says she can't work because of her ailments. She says she's living off Social Security survivor benefits and that's not enough to afford an apartment. Home Sweet Home's Matt Burgess says he contacted Bloomington's mayor and the city council member whose ward includes the shelter to see what they can do. Ward 1 council member Grant Walsh says he passed along the shelter's concerns to city administration.
To see what we can do to help those that are less fortunate in our community. And I think that the city manager and the police department are handling it in the proper way.
City Manager Tim Gleason says the city has tried to help the displaced residents relocate.
I think that they are trying to seek a new location on their own and have rejected what we have offered them as far as a location to be out of the elements.
Matt Burgess at Home Sweet Home says he talked to shelter staff and the residents, and they said police did not make other options available to them when they ordered them to leave on Monday. Burgess feels the clock is ticking.
But we're not panicked by it. The folks in the tents, our neighbors in the tents, they are fairly anxious and dealing with panic, with not knowing where they're going to be able to be.
Burgess says the shelter were trying to make room for four of the displaced residents, even though it overextends staff. He's not sure it'll work. There were reasons these residents have not been able to stay in the past. Burgess says keeping them in the shelter gives the residents access to food and services. One of the tent dwellers is trying to get into an apartment where they used to live. Another plans to stay in his tent and see what police do when they come back on Thursday. Burgess says he hopes the situation will bring the problem of homelessness in Bloomington Normal out of the shadows.
I think the level of community awareness about the issue of homelessness needs to grow. We need to be more aware of and more committed to doing something about this intractable issue that quite frankly has been something that Home Sweet Home has been involved with for over 100 years.
Burgess says for now, all the shelter can do is reassure the displaced residents that someone cares about them. With reporting from Michelle Steinbacher, I'm Eric Stock.
Bloomington police did not respond to multiple requests for comment. Sound Ideas with stories and conversations around Bloomington Normal and McLean County is on WGLT. Two Normal Community High School seniors are inviting you to experience one of their Indian culture's most important celebrations, Holi, the Festival of Colors. Karthika Nair and Preetha Chatterjee are the organizers of Holi Moly on Saturday, April 8th in downtown Bloomington. They tell WGLT's Ryan Denham that Holi has a lot of mythological origins, but Nair says it carries a lot of personal meaning as well.
When you throw colors on each other, you can't really see the person in front of you apart from the bright colors that are on their face, right? So for us, it's been kind of a way to celebrate what's beyond the physical attributes and kind of what's within everyone through dance and music and just playing with colors. So that's what it's been for us growing up, just a really fun way to bond with everyone around us, and we hope that's what we can bring to Bloomington.
You've organized Holi Moly, a Bloomington Normal Festival of Colors, which is happening April 8th in downtown Bloomington. So what is going to happen that day? Tell me about what that event is going to feel like.
Obviously, there are the colors, which they will be sold at the event for $2, I think we said. And, you know, an array of colors, pink, green, whatever your heart desires. And basically, when you go there, you're trying to get as much color on you as possible. So preferably wear white and something you don't really care about. So, I mean, it will stain on white clothes, but it won't stain anything else. And basically when you go there, you say Happy Holi and you can smear color on whoever you want. I mean, you're basically giving off your consent to be colorful when you enter the event.
You know, this event is very much a community-wide thing. Why did you want to bring Holi to a broader audience than just South Asian Indians who live here in Bloomington Normal?
There have been different kind of organizations that have brought it to Bloomington. The Hindu temple holds it every year. And I think every year there's more of our friends that want to come enjoy. And so we were like, when we were thinking about planning this event, we didn't want it to just be a school event.
To see like how many people we would just, you know, post pictures and how many people were like, oh, where is this? Like, I want to come. So, and I mean, we lived here. Well, I've lived here all my life and I've grown up here and I've never, like, I've always celebrated Holi in my backyard. And now that, you know, we're both seniors graduating soon, leaving our beautiful town, I thought that this would be nice to, you know, leave an impact and let the community that I've grown up in enjoy something that I have always since I was a kid.
Last fall, you both started the South Asian Performing Arts Club at Normal Community High School. Can you talk about how your experiences growing up in Bloomington Normal kind of led to that? Let's start with Karthika.
Bloomington has just been a place that has given me so much. And also, I've always felt comfortable, I think, in my own skin in the community. But in school, there were some times where it was maybe not as appreciated or accepted to do the kinds of things that we do, which is why we wanted to start the club. So I do an Indian classical dance form called Kuchipudi. And Preetha,
I do an Indian classical dance called Bharatanatyam. Our entire childhood was like us dancing. And when coming to school, like, everyone had their, like, thing. They had sports, they had dance, they had gymnastics. But we felt like we could never truly share what we had been doing since we were little. I mean, there was always, like, you know, the stigma and the subtle passive-aggressive racism.
Yeah, there was an outlet for everything else, I feel. So there was the dance team, or there was theater, or there were sports. And I think classical art forms or cultural art forms that we've cultivated outside of school weren't really able to be showcased within school.
I think that's what we're trying to do is, like, you know, for the incoming freshmen, for, you know, middle schoolers, elementary schoolers, anyone who's coming into our school, they know that they have a place where they can be represented and they can, you know, enjoy themselves through their art form in the place where they are for most of the day and, you know, besides the 3 months of summer that we get.
I would say coming in from middle school and all of that, when Preetha presented this idea to me, I remember being so excited, but also being really disheartened without even anything happening, because in my mind, I thought no one would want to do it, and no teachers would support it, and no one would care, right? Like, it's just something that we've grown up feeling. It's not cared about in our schools. And so when Preetha told me this, and then Mr. King and then Mr. Robinson, they cared so much and they were so supportive.
It was like nothing that I've seen before. Like, growing up with my teachers, with other peers, like, no one had ever supported us in, like, something that was so... Like, we were the only people supporting us growing up. And to have these people, it was an overwhelming amount of support. And that's the only reason why we have gained the confidence to do what we do.
Organizing these types of things at your age, too, it's not like your parents are forcing you to, you know, reconnect with your Indian heritage. You're doing this of your own volition. This is something you're personally very much passionate about. I can just tell.
I'm just really passionate about not only sharing my culture, but also I think sometimes we struggle with kind of that balance of who we are, because we've grown up in an American society, but we have roots that are also Indian and South Asian. And to be able to be in a place like our school that's so diverse with so many different cultures, and not only present our culture to them, but also kind of extract what they have to offer as well, and kind of infuse that into our club.
Like, reclaim what we had lost, I guess.
Right, reclaim what we had lost, yeah. It's been a really beautiful experience to kind of see that conglomeration of everything our school has to offer.
There's a notion where you have to choose to either present American or present Indian, and, you know, why can't we do both? Why can't we just, you know, all enjoy the
everything
fact that,
we have to offer?
Yeah.
Especially, I think I've seen a shift in the inclusivity and the appreciation that everyone in the school has shown for everyone around them. It's been really, really, really heartening and phenomenal.
If our middle school selves could see us right now, they would be like, they would jaw on the ground. Like, it's... I never thought that I would be so confident in my
own skin.
Yeah, in my culture, in my own skin, in my own art form.
That's Normal Community High School seniors Karthika Nair and Preetha Chatterjee. They're the organizers of Holy Moly. It's a Bloomington Normal Festival of Colors. It's happening from 2 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, April 8th, outside the McLean County Museum of History in downtown Bloomington. The event is free and open to the public. They spoke with WGLT's Ryan Denham. The event's co-sponsors include the museum, the City of Bloomington, Carl Broman, Park Regency, and realtor Minu Bhaskar. And that's WGLT Sound Ideas today. Our news magazine is made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. I'm John Norton. Story help today came from WGLT's Ryan Denham twice and WGLT's Eric Stock. The show was produced by Samantha Hill. This is 89.1 FM, WGLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media, part of the NPR network.